Vanity of vanities. Let's talk about investment for a moment. What we put into something, what we take out, what we expect. It's interesting if you think about it because truly, if we invest, we expect a return, don't we? What we put in, what we invest, we expect something to come out. We want to see some good for what we do. Not just financially, but in our efforts and our actions and whatever we're doing. It's kind of curious if you stop and think about it for some things. This is the great frustration expressed in Ecclesiastes. You know, you see some who toil and they labor and they put in all this effort, and yet their gain seems so much less than some people who don't work half as hard, and yet they're rewarded twice as much. There seems to be this imbalance somewhere. I always remember the saying that used to be on my wall in high school. It said, "I demand justice," or "injustice in my favor." You know, we're always willing to tolerate injustice as long as it favors us, right? I mean, there's that great desire that, you know, it's gotta come out for us. It's gotta be our gain. But he recognizes it. Right there in Ecclesiastes, you know, some people work really hard, they don't necessarily get as much as the person who works half as hard and somehow they manage to get more. It doesn't seem fair. And there's this great struggle with justice, this great fairness, this great assertion, this disappointment of what's going on. And I think it's important for us to take that step back and to consider for a moment that life's not fair. You know, we hear the saying, but we don't really want to let it apply to our lives. You know, we get kind of frustrated with the notion of that. I think it's very telling if we look at today's gospel that there is actually something very clearly warned in today's gospel. Where, I challenge you to find it, it's not in today's gospel, it's not anywhere else either. Where does Jesus tell you that by following after God, by dedicating your life to God, does he promise you that everything's going to be perfect right here, right now, on this earth? He didn't promise perfection here. He didn't promise that everything would go gravy. He didn't say if you did good things and you said your daily prayers that you would be without suffering or without pain or without flaws or without struggle or without disappointment. That's not anywhere. And yet we kind of think that way sometimes, don't we? You know, sometimes we get caught up in that. I mean, we know it conceptually when they say it out loud, but think about it from the other side of things. When some great tragedy happens, when we lose someone we care about or something terrible does happen, there's that moment where we pause and we go, but I'm a good person. I'm doing the best I can, and I'm saying my prayers, and I'm going to church, and I'm making these efforts. Why did this bad thing happen to me? Where did it say it wouldn't? I'm not wishing bad on anyone, but I don't remember seeing that written anywhere. There's something very telling about today's gospel. We have this someone in the crowd, we saw Jesus, you know, teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance. Jesus said, I'm not here to sort out inheritance. This isn't about a couple of bucks here and a couple of bucks there. I'm not your arbiter for this. There's something much bigger at stake. There's something much larger, there's something much further that we should be invested in, that we have to pause and actually consider, that if we truly are reflecting the gospel as it's given to us, if we're considering what it is to be followers after Christ, to be Christian, it becomes a question of investment. It isn't about how we split the inheritance. It isn't about if we're getting a better share than somebody else or a worse share, or we're getting a good cut or a bad cut. But it does become a question of, what are you really invested in? Because if we're invested in ourselves, we can reflect the rich man in the parable. What does he say? He says, what shall I do? I do not have space to store in my harvest. I will tear down my barns. I shall store grain. And I shall say to myself, eat, drink, and be merry, for you have abundance of years. I think it's important that Jesus starts with a rich young man. Or a rich man, not a young man. A rich man who has land and produces a bountiful harvest. He doesn't criticize him for being rich. He doesn't criticize him for having barns. It's not a crime to have stuff. But do we have stuff, or does stuff have us? There's that worthy consideration that says, you know, if you have, you are not in need, and you have suddenly an abundance, what are we really invested in? Because if we become invested in this life, well then you're right, it's all about whatever reward we can get here and now. But that's a very frightening prospect, because while there are injustices in the world, and while some get more and some get less, and we're never quite sure, you know, where everything's going to come from in the end, I can make you one very clear promise that everyone will get equally. I can promise you all, one day, each and every one of us is going to die. I promise. It's the great equalizer. We're all going to die. Hopefully not today. Hopefully not tomorrow. But it will happen. And we will stand before God. And we will have to be accountable for where we were invested. Because honestly, if we're invested in this life, and this life is our single investment, and our devotion is here on this earth, and we're so focused on that, and we're not stockpiling or building up anything for the kingdom of heaven, why would we go to heaven? People often say to me, they say, well, you know, God's loving, right? Why would he send me to hell? I'm telling you right now, God doesn't send anybody to hell. People choose it for themselves. It is a simple reality. Where our heart is, that's where we're going. We invest ourselves in heaven. We invest ourselves in this desire to be closer to God. We invest ourselves in trying to build up this kingdom and trying to be closer to him so that we might have eternal happiness and eternal life and this great joy which is heaven and know all of these beautiful things. Then we have to show our investment towards it. And I'm not focused on money. I'm focused about our actions and our thoughts and our prayers and our day-to-day actions and our life. Because rest assured, the day will come when we die and we will stand before God. And God will not ask us, were you better than everyone else around you? He doesn't care about everyone else around you. At the moment of your judgment, he cares about you. And he wants to know, what did you do? How did you live? Did you keep the moral law that you know to be right? It isn't about being better than everybody else. It's about being right with God. It's about being faithful to God. And I know that's kind of a scary prospect, and I recognize that it's not necessarily the thing you wanted to hear on a Sunday morning in summer, but rest assured of one thing. I know it's of some priority to you because you're here. So I don't want you to think that I'm immediately trying to cut everybody down. Quite the contrary, I want you to remember, this is part of this investment. The very fact that you're here reflects that this is part of this investment. This is part of who we are. And it shows that your hearts do want something. And I'll grant you, sometimes we have mixed motivations. When I was in high school, I went to Mass because I had to. You live in my roof, you live under my roof, you will obey my rules, you will go to Mass on Sunday. That's part of the deal. And granted, during that time, I was seriously thinking about priesthood, but I was not always excited to go to Mass on Sunday morning. It happens. I'm not saying it was the best motivation for me, but, you know, some days we have mixed motivations. Partially we come out of an obedience. Maybe not every Sunday we're excited to be here. I understand that. But you are here, and that does count for something. Our investment of who we are and where we want to be will ultimately reflect in how we act, in how we speak, and how we live. And I know you are a generous people. The boiler's paid for. Now I just got to go through paperwork. It'll be replaced. You are a generous people. I cannot tell you how excited I am to serve a community that I get so excited to come and say these things. Because I would dread having to try and have this conversation with a half-empty church of people that don't show up and nobody's given any money and nobody shows any investment in their own community. And I don't want to appear like I'm focused on money. I'm not. I'm not worried about it. My first interest is your heart. We want to make sure that we're dedicated to God. Because there's this great danger of this rich man here. He becomes focused on himself. What will I do with my barns and my wealth and my prosperity? When what we need to be looking is how can I show that reflection, that love for God? Notice it does not criticize that he has barns. It does not criticize he has multiple barns. What it criticizes is that it's all about him. We want to live for God. We want to stay close to him in the things that we do. We live it day to day, and even the smallest of actions. And we reflect that by keeping in mind that stuff is just stuff. But God is where we should be going.